Hey family, it's great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here. Thank you to with us here. It's such a blessing to be able to have such a great forever family. Got a lot of, like I said, members, got a lot of visitors here. Today I'm happy to report to you that somebody who's been visiting with us for quite some time has met with us as elders. Some of us were able to meet with him last Sunday, discussed everything with him, and very happy to allow him at Azalea City to take that visitor's hat off. This morning, coming in and sitting in our pew by wheelchair, he said last week, I said, look, brother, you don't have to stand. We can just get you to raise your hand. He said, no, I want to stand. So I want to say to Fred Birch, welcome to Azalea City Church of Christ. Fred, we are super excited to have you with us. Thank you very much. Welcome, brother. Y'all get to know our brother. And I want you to also see Brother Rodney and Sister Clarice. Give them big pats on the backs and hugs for the blessing that they have been to Fred and being able to help get him here. And that's the gospel message, to go and to bring and to teach, and to baptize and to teach. We know what Jesus said. And so, what a great day. What a great moment. I have something else to say to you. And sometimes people say, I don't know that I fully can get behind this statement, but this time I am. It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. This person's not going to be happy with me, but I'm going to ask for forgiveness. This past week, I attended a board meeting at Fargo University, and we unanimously elected a new board chair. And I'm happy to report to you that our very own Mike Eubanks is the new chairman of the board at Fargo University, and that is a big deal. It's a really big deal, and I'm so thankful for he and his family, and thankful to serve beside him in a lot of different roles, not only currently, but through the years. We are blessed, aren't we, here at Azalea City with a lot of talent. We're blessed with a lot of things that we can see, but the most important thing that we are all blessed with is the one we can't see. We can't see Jesus with our eyes. We can't see God with our eyes. But we certainly can see Him living in others. You know, we live in a world of wow moments. That didn't translate over very well, but it's supposed to be two words there. That's on me. We live in some amazing moments. But you know, these wow moments in life are things that I hope that are visible to us. Those of us who are Christians, we've been able to recognize, even though they're visible, how great the invisible is. For instance, husbands, you remember the first time you saw your bride walking down the aisle? That's a wild moment. They dressed up for you. They did all that for you. You know, that's a wild moment. Parents, you remember the first time you found out you were expecting? Then when that baby was born? That's a wild moment. You remember the first time that baby quit crawling Look at there. We got the greatest IT team in the history, right? You remember when that baby was crawling and then all of a sudden pulled themselves up and took those first steps? It's a wild moment. Or maybe you can remember a game-winning play that made the whole stadium roar. Or maybe you stood over some of God's creation, like the Grand Canyon or something to that nature, and were able to look out and just say, wow. Wow. You see, we are wired to be amazed. We're wired to experience wow moments in life. Now, my hope is, and I feel like I'm pretty safe by saying that those of us in this room, when we see those wow moments of the visible, we give glory to the invisible. But there are a lot of folks in life that get wrapped up in the visible. They get wrapped up in how amazing this looks and how amazing that looks, and look at what I was able to do by looking at this house or looking at this car or looking at this whatever. Get wrapped up in the visible, and the more they get wrapped up in the visible, they take their eyes more and more off the invisible. Here's what Paul said. It may be small there, but it's 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 if you want to follow along. Paul writes there, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we not look to the things that are seen or visible, but to the things that are unseen or invisible. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen, do not miss this, are eternal." Here's what Paul said. Do not lose heart. There's something great that is laid up for you. There's something great that you can't even imagine. I can't see, or it can't enter the thoughts of man, right? How great heaven's going to be. And so this is laid up for you. So just endure these visible things. Endure these trials. Endure these tribulations. Because there's coming a day when, as long as we keep our eyes on the invisible, we don't get so focused on the visible or the unseen or the seen that we lose sight of the unseen or invisible. In other words, don't get your eyes on the world and lose track of the one who's eternal. You see, Paul's message was, keep your eyes on the invisible. Don't be amazed merely with what our eyes can see, but stand amazed by what our faith can see. Jesus Christ is our invisible. But here's the beauty of Jesus. He was the invisible, but He became visible. And while He was visible on this earth, He did a lot of visible things that will help us stay focused on how amazing our God is. So today what I want to do is talk about some of those things. I want to challenge us so that we do not get, as Jason said, it's amazing how things can just float, even plan it, right? I believe God's Spirit has a lot to do with that. But Jason talked about distractions as our giving. You know, that's what Satan wants more than anything right now, is for you to be so focused on earthly things. Earthly things that really don't matter. You know, the good news is we're not going to stand before God in judgment and Him say, "Oh, you didn't have 2,500 square feet? Ah, sorry, you can't make it." We're not going to stand before Him and Him say, "Oh, you didn't have two brand new cars? Oh, well, you can't make it." Isn't that a beautiful thing? Because those things will be destroyed. You remember Jesus said it this way, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy, or thieves can break in and steal. But rather lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. That neither moth nor rust can destroy, nor thieves can break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's so important today to not get distracted. To not get distracted by things that really in the end of life do not matter. So how can we stay focused on the one that does matter? By focusing on the invisible, what He did when He was visible. And the beautiful thing is we have that written for us clearly in our Scripture. Jesus, the one who we ought to be focused on every hour, every minute, every second of the day. He did a lot of amazing things. In fact, so many that if it were all recorded in a book, John said the world itself couldn't contain it. Well, let's talk about a few this morning. Let's talk about His purpose. We know that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Who did He go to first? Some of the first that He went to do was He went to preach to the poor. Appreciate Brother King as he read to us Luke 4. He did a great job. But I want to take you back to that same text. Luke 4, verse 14. I'm going to read it with you again because I think it's that important and I want you to not miss some things. By the way, you heard the saying that was a mic drop moment. To me, this is one of the greatest mic drop moments in all of Scripture. Let's read it together. Luke 4, beginning in verse 14. And Jesus entered in the power of the Spirit. I'm sorry, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And a report about Him went out through all the surrounding country. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as was His custom, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him. And rolled the scroll. And found the place where it was written. Do not miss this, guys. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now He's reading from the prophet Isaiah, the scroll of Isaiah, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. He is reading in the synagogue in Nazareth these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He just wrote our lesson. What did Jesus do? Here was His mission statement. According to Isaiah now, we know this, but remember who He's reading it to. But listen to what He said. He was sent to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He reads all that. Picture the scene. He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant. Then He sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon Him. And He began to say to them, today, this Scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. See, that sends chill bumps to me. He takes a scroll that's hundreds of years old. that had told about the Messiah who was to come. He stands in that synagogue and he knew exactly what he was doing. He unrolled that scroll and he read what the purpose of the Messiah was. The invisible who had become visible. For hundreds of years, even through silent years, they had read about this Messiah that was to come. He unrolled that scroll and he read it. Then he sat down and he said, "Today that invisible has become visible. I am He." Let's review His life to this point so far. He was born, as it was prophesied, of a virgin. He had been raised a carpenter. He amazed teachers at the age of 12. He was baptized to fulfill all righteousness by John. He had been led by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted. He had turned water to wine. Now he steps into the synagogue and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The invisible became visible to go preach to the poor. He went to preach to those who were lacking. What were they lacking? Yes, they were lacking money. But most of them were lacking love. Even many of them were probably lacking help. But all of them were lacking forgiveness. In other words, He came to preach to you and me. There's so many of us, right? We're lacking. Lacking money, lacking love, lacking help, and even lacking forgiveness. Once we obey Him, once we become obedient to the One who came to set us free, we become His ministers. We become His evangelists. Paul taught us in 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 10 that we are ministers of God, serving in patience, purity, kindness, and the power of God, even as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 2, 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." In other words, He came to preach to us. But He expects us to continue preaching to them. What is your purpose? Jesus knew full well what His purpose was. He opened it in the synagogue of Nazareth and He read it from the prophet Isaiah, who received it directly from God hundreds of years before that. And He said, "This is being fulfilled right now. The invisible has become visible, and My purpose, number one, is to go and preach to the poor, to the lost, to the hurting, to the weak, to those who need Jesus." You know, that's the answer. That's the answer to every question. What is missing in this world? Jesus. What is missing in this family? Jesus. What is missing in this life? Jesus. What are you missing if you're not complete? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. When our eyes are fixed on the invisible, the purpose of our calling, we'll begin to live amazed again. You see, we're not just church members. We're ministers. We're evangelists. Every handshake, every prayer, every act of kindness, all of those things are the holy work of our Father. When we serve the poor, and I'm talking about those who are in need, right? Those who are lacking. When we serve the poor in spirit, when we serve the lonely, when we serve the hurting, we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And when we do, amazing things, wow moments will continue to happen. What else did the invisible make visible? He made healing. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Do you know anyone that's broken today? Of course you do. Of course we know somebody who's broken. Perhaps even it's you today that's broken. If it is you, let me tell you, there's a lot of comfort out there. There's a lot of comfort in this text that we have written before us, in the Holy Word of God. Texts like Psalm 147 verse 3, when he says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Think of a mother. How a mother will comfort a child when that child has fallen and hurt themselves. What does the mother do? She runs to them. Almost to the point that she can see it happening and she tries to get there before it even does happen. She's running to the child. She takes the child. She touches the child. She comforts the child. She looks at the wound. She takes care of the wound. She bandages the wound. She makes sure that every tear gets dried from their eyes. That's exactly what Jesus came to do for us. Jesus ran to us. He tried to make it where we wouldn't fall, but even when we did fall, He came and He took care of our wound. And there's coming a day when He's going to dry every tear from our eyes. Jesus reached out to fishermen who had failed. He reached out to tax collectors who had cheated. He reached out to adulterers who were ashamed. He reached out to doubters who couldn't see. He reached out to people who had lost their way. The invisible became visible to heal the brokenhearted. And He's still doing it today. Today, maybe you're angry. And listen, I understand that there are a lot of things in this life that can make us angry. Maybe you're angry at your life situation. Maybe you're angry at the way your family is. Maybe you're angry at your boss. Maybe you're angry at someone in your neighborhood, someone in your close circle of friends. Maybe you're angry at God. Today, if you will allow yourself to get focused off the visible and get focused on the invisible, you're angry. Your anger can turn to amazement. Maybe you feel awful. Awful in health. Awful in love. Awful in spirit. You know what? When we tend to reach and hold on to things in this life, in this visible, those things leave us empty. They leave us feeling awful. You know when you've eaten a bunch of stuff that wasn't good for you and you just filled up on it and later on you just feel awful? That's the same thing spiritually. When we fill up on the visible and we take our eyes off the invisible, we feel awful. Today, if you will get that focus back to the invisible, you can go from feeling awful to be awakened. There are a lot of anxiousness going on. I believe anxiety is at an all-time high. And here's one of the factors about it. Okay, here's your counseling lesson for today. We have too much information too soon. I mean, you want information, just turn on the news. The internet is great for a lot of things. Phones are great for a lot of things. But kids today, teenagers today have so much anxiety because all this information is coming to them. Adults have all this information. And you know what? We all have somewhat, I say we all, some of you don't. Some of you even have flip phones, and I'm proud of you for that. But here's the reality. Most of us that have a phone probably have some addiction to it. We have addiction to knowing things, to understanding things. We know what all that causes. It causes anxiety. And so the more we fixate on the visible and we lose sight of the invisible, anxiety rises today if we'll switch that around and get focused on the invisible and get rid of a lot of the visible in our life, that anxiousness will turn to peace. All that happens when you keep your eyes on the invisible healer. You know, Jesus called us to do the same. We don't have the power to heal. We don't have the power to make things, diseases and sicknesses and all that go away. But we do have the power to point the broken one to the one who can bind their heart. Your touch, your prayer, your compassion, it can help someone see Jesus for the first time and again. But as he read, he also talked about another purpose he had. He came to proclaim liberty. In Luke 4:18, he reminds them to proclaim liberty to the captives. Everyone in here, not just in here, everyone who exists, everyone who has ever existed, we've all been enslaved by something. The atheist will say, I don't believe in God, but they're enslaved by something lording over them. We are created that way. We are created to have something lord over us. It's written on our DNA. It was designed by God. Everybody has something lording over them. It may not be the Lord, but something is we're enslaved to. For some, it's addiction. That's a tough one. I think the first thing our minds say when we hear addiction is drugs and alcohol. Very bad things, right? Very easy things to get addicted to, but there's a lot of addiction. Some people are addicted to work. Some people are addicted to their phones. Some people are addicted to food. Some people are addicted to pornography. There's a lot of addictions out there that can enslave us. Maybe it's the anger. Not being able to let something go that's enslaving you. Maybe it's the anxiety. Maybe it's the guilt. Maybe it's greed. I want you to think of the man possessed by legion in Mark 5. You remember that man? I don't know who he was, but he had a lot of demons living in him. When they encountered this man, they being the disciples and Jesus, they found bleeding and hopeless. No man could tame him. They tried to send him to a desolate place and bind him up, but he was so strong that he broke those chains and he scraped at his skin. He was so miserable because of all these demons that were enslaving him. But then he encountered Jesus. And Jesus spoke. And the demons fled. One moment, he's in chains. The next, he's clothed and in his right mind. You know what that is? That is freedom. And that's what Jesus did. And that's what Jesus does. In fact, in John 8:36, we're reminded, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Ah, that's a great verse. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus, the invisible, became visible to set us free. Today, whatever you're enslaved by, it's time to surrender it. I understand that sometimes addiction, sometimes anger, sometimes these anxieties, sometimes the guilt, sometimes the sin, whatever it may be, it can be embarrassing. But everybody in here has been enslaved by something. Today, my prayer is you'll let whatever is visible enslaving you go, and you'll be enslaved by the one who you can't see. But finally, what else did Jesus do? The invisible became visible to open the eyes of the blind. There are many times in Scripture that Jesus restored sight. But there are many times He didn't just restore physical sight, He restored spiritual sight. Jesus, yes indeed, healed the physically blind. And if you think about it, the miracle of making the blind see, it has incredible complexity to it. The eyes had to instantly start functioning. The brain had to be able to understand and recognize what it was seeing. And then the person had to make sense of all this light flooding in. When Jesus healed someone, and when the healing was fully done, they didn't need glasses. They didn't see blurry. They saw completely clear. And it's not just opening of the eyes, all those other things, the complexity of the way we're made, it all had to work perfectly. And as amazing, as complex as healing someone blind, even taking spit and dirt, making mud and putting it as a salve on the eyes and doing those kinds of things, as amazing as that is, to me, the most important and the most amazing thing Jesus did is open the eyes of the spiritual blind. It's real easy to see the world clearly. You ever thought about how Satan makes that? I wouldn't have to go out here and say, hey man, let me tell you about worldly things. And people would look at you like you had two heads, right? Oh, I understand what partying is. I understand what sexual sin is. I understand what getting drunk is. Man, that's easy. We don't have to describe that to the world. They got it. The world understands clearly what sin is. They may not call it that, but they understand it. Because Satan makes us be able to have vision for the visible very easy. But when you go out there and start talking about the truth of Jesus, people can't really see what you're talking about. It takes a while for the focus to become clear. Sometimes we're blind to God's work that's right in front of us. Satan's so good that sometimes and oftentimes we see problems, but we can't see the providence. We can certainly see the loss, but we struggle to see the love. We can certainly see the obstacles. Maybe we can't see the opportunities. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 1:18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. That's the goal. My prayer is that God has opened your eyes. Can you imagine? As we close this out, can you imagine? When He walked into the synagogue of Nazareth, of all the places for the Messiah to come, nothing good can come from Nazareth. But in the synagogue of Nazareth, for hundreds of years, for centuries, they had heard from the prophets, the Messiah is coming. The invisible is becoming visible. They had heard it, they had heard it, they had heard it. And in Nazareth of all places, He walks into that synagogue and He opens up that very scroll where Isaiah had said it. Again, even centuries of silent years where God didn't speak through man, they've been waiting. And Jesus said, all the visible things you've been reading about the invisible, He stands before you today. Yes, some accepted it. Some welcomed Him. But ultimately, so many who were blinded by their own desires, by their own thoughts, by their own impressions, by their own interpretations, by the world itself, so many rejected Him, and He was standing right in front of them. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? When truth was standing right in front of him. Today, Jesus Christ, the invisible, became visible to welcome you, to welcome me. Will you reject Him? Or will you accept Him? Paul said, we do not lose heart. Why? Because he knew the secret. He had fixed his eye on eternity. Paul called this life's pain light and momentary. That doesn't mean it doesn't hurt, right? Life still hurts. But that hurt is just for a few moments compared to glory, compared to eternity. Those moments are really nothing. Every tear, it's going to mean heaven's that much sweeter. Every wound, they can be a reminder of the healing of God. Every trial, they can make us more like Jesus. When we see through the eyes of faith, we should all say, that trial, that affliction, it prepared me for the eternal weight of glory. Maybe today, your eyes have been too focused on the visible. Maybe you've been wowed or amazed by the wrong kinds of things. Money, success, comfort, entertainment. And all those things have caused you to lose sight of the eternal. Jesus, He's inviting us to see again. To look up. To fix our gaze on what truly matters. Allow Jesus to heal your heart today. Allow Him to free your soul. Allow Him to open your eyes. Because when we live with eyes on the invisible, we'll never lose heart, we'll never lose purpose, and we'll always stand amazed. If you need to be obedient to the gospel by being immersed in water for the remission of your sins, or you need to come home, you have the opportunity to do it right now together. We